Hello, welcome to Think, Laugh, Cry, And. We are your host, Tom Parker.
And James Clubs. We have been friends for over 12 years now. We chat about many of life's adventures. At Think, Laugh, Cry, And, we tell those stories you may not necessarily hear on television or radio news programs.
These are real stories that James and I will present and discuss. The stories will make you think, possibly laugh, maybe cry, and whatever other expressions may arise inside you.
What's cool is, aside from, of course, listening to our program, you can also follow us on the Twitter at Think, Laugh, Cry, And One. That's the number one. On Facebook, on facebook.com/thinklaughcryand.
You can also email us some stories or feedback. And also, we're waiting for someone to send us the MP3 version of their intro to our show at thinklaughcryand@gmail.com. Email us at thinklaughcryand@gmail.com.
How's it going?
It's going well. It's going well. So I'm looking forward to spring break. I know it's off in the distance at the end of March, but I'm looking forward to it since we haven't had any snow days.
Well, once you get into March, you know, which it basically is now,
March Madness,
you start thinking of that stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And spring break, like you just said, March Madness.
Yes.
So it's a lot of cool stuff.
So yeah, college basketball is winding down, and then it's really weird because when football season ended, the following Sunday came after Super Bowl, I was like, what do I do with all my time now? I
mean, yeah.
I didn't realize that so much of my Sunday was kind of wrapped around football, and I guess, you know, because I play fantasy football, that's, that adds to it. So I didn't realize that until just this year. I'm going, I'm kind of bored. What am I going to do? But it's all worked out.
You kind of fill in the gaps.
Yeah, you fill in the gaps. I mean, I don't watch pro basketball, but college basketball kind of helps out. But, you know, I guess it gives me more reason not to sit in front of the TV on Sundays.
There you go.
So, yeah. But, so the weather here is changing to the warm, and good reason to get outside and start riding a bicycle and get back in shape. So get moving. But, you know, I was really sick last weekend. I know we did a podcast.
We did.
And my I was like all stuffed up, and I think once the weekend came, it just kind of hit me. I was out for 4 days. I didn't lose any time from work because we had a 3.5-day weekend. But excuse me, I was so sick I had to go to urgent care on Sunday. I've gone to that in like many, many years, but that's how bad it was. So
it's crazy how many people have been sick this season.
Yeah, I think it's warm one day, cold the next, and warm for 3 days, freezing for 3 days, and it's just not consistent. Flowers are blooming here.
It is crazy. Yeah, I just got over another head cold, so it took me out Friday and Saturday. Mm-hmm. It's just happening. I don't know. Times are strange.
Yeah, I know that's what it's like here. I wonder what it's like around other parts of the country if the flu or the bug, whatever it is, hitting places like it is here.
So. Yeah. Well, let's get to some
happier
tidings, right?
Happier stories.
Exactly. I have the first one here. It's I like to call it Abandoned and Found Again.
Abandoned and Found Again.
A dog who was unfortunately abandoned. I hate hearing those stories that a dog is abandoned, right? He was abandoned at a gas station by a previous owner. And really, it was just an open area of where a gas station was, and then a construction area of where a gas station would then be put again.
Hmm.
So this dog is abandoned in that lot, right? Sabrina Planner purchased this Shell gas station in the town, in a small town in Brazil. Well, she discovered this adult dog when she's about to go ahead and take over for this gas station, just roaming around the site, and again, abandoned, but afraid to leave, almost like the dog just wanted to stay. Mm. And it knew that area, so that was its home.
Comfortable.
Yeah. Well, the dog, according to this woman, Sabrina, she said, "We adopted him immediately and got him all the care and animal needs. We bought him food, a dog house, a leash to walk him around in. But here's the cool part. This is what I really liked. Sabrina didn't just give the dog a new home. She gave the dog more of a purpose with the business that she just purchased herself. Gave him a very own job to be a greeter. For everyone to come into the little shop. You know how gas stations have little shops and stuff like that, like snack places and whatever. Uh-huh. Well, the dog, whose name is Nageo. Yes, I had to try and pronounce that.
God bless you.
Yeah, Nageo.
God bless you.
He decides to, he has this role of customer service and is very natural at it. She said that Nageo waits for people to arrive and then goes up and says hello, winning them over immediately by his charm. Customers love him. I mean, who doesn't love a dog wagging their tail? And
people that are scared of dogs.
Yeah, but they don't have to go to that gas station.
They don't have to go to that gas station. We'll go down the road 5 miles.
Some people even bring him toys.
Oh, neat.
So, which is great. So it's kind of like this one big happy family. The hardworking pup has really become like a poster dog for actually a local initiative by a charity group called FERA, F-E-R-A. Don't ask me what it stands for.
Oh.
Which aims to pair up businesses with abandoned dogs.
Oh.
If those abandoned dogs cannot be picked up by family members or a family, then this charity group will go ahead and pick up the dog and perhaps pair with a business. Pretty cool story, huh?
Yeah. Sorry, I looked down at my sheet. I thought you. I have this pinched nerve, and I was looking down. I had my hand up like I was asking a question. That's why I had thought you had stopped talking. I was looking down at my sheet. I was listening, but I had my hand up to relieve the pressure from my finger. And I thought you were looking at me like I was strange.
Now that was funny.
So it is a cool story, and it's really neat. It's if people think hard enough, they can find a fix for a lot of different things like that story. You know, a stray dog they can't find a home for. They can take it in, but you know they could make it relevant and for you know make it feel good. You know, for whatever else, other reasons, they, you know, people can just, if they use their imagination, if they really care, they can make the situation so much better. If they don't care, then they'll say, you know, I think lots of times people just say, oh, it's not my problem. Somebody else will take care of it. Somebody else will do it. And then you never hear these stories. But that is a cool story. That is really neat.
Yeah, especially just being a dog lover myself, yeah. And being able to find a solution right. To this.
That's a good story to tell people who love animals, and that's then that makes them feel good.
Exactly.
About the things that they do as well.
You can lower your hand.
Yeah, my hand is now lowered. The pressure is now gone away. Long pause. Okay. I have a story out of Sweden. Okay. A Swedish politician proposes a new law. Swedish politician Pierre-Erik Muskos, age 42, of Sweden. He's a Social Democrat Party member. He proposed the idea in a council meeting in the northern city of Övertorneå, and says couples in Sweden don't spend enough time together, and suggested the paid break would improve relationships and boost childbirth. Now, the law that he wants, yes, he has proposed a paid sex breaks for workers law.
Paid sex.
Paid. Break. Now you don't get paid to go find somebody to have sex with. You go home to have sex with your partner or to spend time with them. Swedes already commonly take 2 to 3 coffee breaks during the workday as it is, but Mr. Muskos has proposed this for the psychological and relationship benefits. He also says the break could also give workers time to exercise during the workday. He says sex is an excellent form of exercise with documented positive effects on the well-being. Now, why not kill 2 birds with 1 stone? He encourages employees to use their fitness hour to go home and have sex with their partner. And also maybe to have more children. So,
I got a lot of questions.
Yeah, go ahead. You ask them and I'll answer them. Because I've done a lot of research on this story.
Okay, so number one, this is a politician proposing a law.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So if that law is passed by the government,
the council, I guess,
who's going to pay for these leave of absences? The company.
Everybody can do it, so it'll probably be part of your taxes. It'll be maybe raise your tax a little bit, but everybody has the benefit of going home and using this if they would like. So it's not just like, you know, like, well, I'll never use that. Well, maybe you won't, but you could also take a break from work. You don't have to tell them, you don't have to like bring back documentation that you've had sex. Well, this is why I went home.
I want picture
this
proof.
Is why, hey, boss, this is why I went home. I had sex with my significant other, so now I should get paid for the leave. You can use it to work out. You can also use it to maybe, I mean, personally, I'm sure, like, I would use it to go make an appointment, maybe take a break for the day, you know, go home and, I don't know, do some work or just catch my TV show or something like that, just to get away from the work environment.
But that would be against the intended purpose of the law.
How do they know that, though? I'm sure I would not be the only person to think of that.
Well, okay, so what Bennett, let's just transfer this to the benefit. It benefits people that are in relationships, but there has to be then a separate benefit, an equal benefit to those that are not in relationships.
Right. You use it to go work out.
Right. So health, I would think the law would need to be amended right away to be able to prove, you know, or accommodate everybody.
How to prove what, though? How do they, what do you want to prove?
No. I prove is the wrong word. Accommodation. Okay. So you can't just say that this law is for the benefit of couples, which it is. It apparently would right. be exercise, cardiovascular.
But you don't have to. You don't have to take the leave if you don't want to. It just means you won't get paid for it. And I don't know what the parameters are. Like you get like you know, once a month you can use this, or if it's like six times a year you can use it, or I don't know how it's set up like that, but. It also, thinking about it, it also could promote cheating on your spouse. Because what if you want to go and meet your cheaty person, your person you're cheating with, for like an hour, and then you come back to work?
Hmm.
Now, how does your wife or your husband or whoever, your significant other, know that you left work? Do they check your pay? Oh, you had paid sex leave where you didn't have sex with me.
Right.
So I, you know, that could also happen too.
There's a lot of
right
holes in this story.
Excuse me. there's a lot of
possibilities where this could go wrong.
Right. Well, I mean, it's he's proposed it. Who knows? I don't know anything about this gentleman who proposed it. What his background is. Maybe he needs to go home more often than he's able to. That's why he proposed it.
Let's get down to the intent. Back to the intent. The right. intent is to promote something that would make people happier, right? Mm-hmm. That's the idea.
Right, because, you know, if you're happier in your work environment, you'll work harder, you'll be more productive.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So that's the intent of it.
But I guess my cynical...
I mean, that's part of the intent.
My cynical mind automatically goes to what potentially could go wrong with this. Versus mm-hmm. the benefit that it's laid out to be, which, you know, you obviously have to consider all parameters before passing a law.
Here's the thing. What if your Baltimore Orioles made it to the World Series and they had a game in the afternoon? Would you take off work for an hour to go watch them play and then go back?
Absolutely.
To work? Yeah. So let's see. But you could use it for that.
But I already have leave.
Right. You already have leave. But this way you would have more leave.
So we should make it not just about procreation.
It's Sweden. We have nothing to do with it.
Well, first of all, I would oppose this law because it's a burden on the taxpayer.
Why is it a burden on the taxpayer?
Because the government would be proposing this, and therefore it would have to be paid by tax dollars.
Right. So what's the problem? But everybody benefits from
because
it.
Because specifically, according to what you stated, mm-hmm. it was only for those... who are in relationships to then go out and do it as it stated.
And to work out.
That's what it said.
Right, right. To work out. You could use it to work out as well. So it could exercise. So if
I'd rather my tax dollars go
somewhere. So here's
else.
If you need, what if you need physical therapy and you have to, you can't do it during the day because you're at work. You could take an hour off to go take physical therapy.
I'd rather my tax dollars go to education or.
All right. Let's not tread down that path. They're fixing the roads out there for those roads that they're fixing, the toll booths, for instance. That money's supposed to go to education. Right.
Mm-hmm. I just don't necessarily trust more money in the hands of government.
Well, I mean, but you don't know how much is going to be taxed for this. I mean, we don't know, and the story doesn't say how much you're going to be paid. It's an hour. Like I said, they already take 2 to 3 hours. 2 to 3 coffee breaks during the day, as it is anyway.
So you take away
one coffee break.
But let me go back to the happier mm-hmm. thing that this is supposed to intend. I got to get away from. This is why I want to do this show, is because I got to get away from the negative
aspects.
I was all positive, and so you started to be negative about it.
It rubs off.
Yeah. So yeah. Well, you see what? See what about this? What if? Here's the thing. What if you and your spouse are trying to have a baby, and your wife says, "Hey, I'm ovulating. We gotta go home and do it right now." You get in your car and you leave. That's the opportune time. What if you know? So it helps childbirth.
I already have time off.
But you just, yeah. But you have to take the whole day.
I already have enough days.
All right. Well, the way you burn through them, buddy, you could use some extra time.
I don't burn through anything.
Oh, yeah.
I've only used two this year.
Two this year. Anyway, this is in Sweden. This is not in the United States. This will never happen in the United States.
You never know.
That's why I'm going to move to Sleden.
Sweden.
Get paid sex leave.
Yeah, you get Swiss chocolate, too.
Oh, yeah. But, hey, you can combine the two. You can stop off at the store. It's an aphrodisiac. Get the chocolate.
You're right.
Melt it down and use it during your workout.
I have another great
Insert
story.
Insert chocolate here. Right. So what's your story?
Speaking of different countries, I believe this comes out of England. You know the place that you're going to go travel to. Mm-hmm. A 25-year-old man. His name is Dan Barnett. He noticed a terrified elderly woman just outside of his office window. He's working at a realty company, and he notices or hears high winds. He hears this storm outside. Is it as if it's just a thunderstorm or something, but it's just the high winds. And he looks out the window and sees this elderly lady clinging to a lamppost, like just grasping on for her life. And he decides to go right downstairs, go across the street, and ask this lady, you know, what is going on? What's wrong? He went up to her, and these are his words. He goes, "I said, are you all right? Do you need a hand?" And her eyes just like kind of lit up right away. And she said, "Oh, yes, please." She told me her name was Joni. And she'd only popped out for a pint of milk and some Werther's Originals.
Werther's Originals?
Something about butterscotch.
Mm-hmm.
Werther's Originals. But she got out of breath because of the wind pushing against her. So the wind was taking a toll, this high wind.
If she had paid sex leave, she could exercise more and she wouldn't have to worry about the high wind. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, and she was clinging onto this lamppost because she was scared that she would get blown into the street.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, this is an older lady, a bit fragile. And basically, this guy offered to walk her back to her cottage, only about 5 minutes away, and got her there home safely. But this guy was at work, noticed something out the window, and just went into action. And I thought it was great. Well, Joni visited back to the real estate agency where Barnett worked, gave him a box of chocolate just to say, we should have led off with a different story. Or for you to lead off a different story. She just wanted to say thank you.
That's cool.
That is really cool. You know, this guy didn't have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
How many times have you looked at someone? Like, I was at Mass today, and this lady had...
A lot of people there?
Oh, yeah. It was crowded today. Mass. Well, it's the time before Lent.
Oh.
You know, the last Sunday in ordinary time. So people, were there listening and everything, or to the first reading, and this lady's kid started to cry, so she had to take him out, and she dropped her coat. Without even thinking, a gentleman just picked up the coat.
Mm-hmm.
So many other people just stared at the ground.
Yeah.
Here you are at church. The one place that you probably should be helping other people,
right,
or thinking of others other than yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I think that what this guy Barnett did for Joni, what people do every day, the small things, it just makes such a massive difference.
Yeah, I like to think that the small things have a bigger impact on people than the larger, bigger things. Because for me personally, I remember those things as the day goes on. I usually, at the end of the day, when I'm going to bed, I usually just kind of lay there as I fall asleep and just kind of think about the day, replay it in my head, conversations or things that happened or whatever. And I always remember the littler things that mean a lot more to me. Like, maybe a student saying hello to me first before I say hello to them. That's always really cool. And then, or something where someone helped me at school, or or something that I saw at a store or whatever. And usually once I'm out of work, it's usually, you know, I think about the good or the bad or whatever that happens when I see it. I don't really watch the news that much anymore, so so I don't. And I do try to watch, if I'm here by myself, the 7 o'clock news, the nightly news, to see what's going on in the world. They always end that show with a good, nice, lighthearted story. So that's always good to see. And it's like, I like how they end that show. So I have to go through all the traumatic stuff. They ended on a nice note. But yeah, the little things mean a lot to people. I think people kind of take those for granted, like people holding the door for others. And what's really cool, like I said, is school. Like, when you have kids hold the door for you, it's really neat, because it's nice to see that those normal, those everyday baseline nice deeds people are still doing, and kids are doing them. So hopefully they'll continue. So
I mean, this guy just sees this woman clinging for life on a lamppost because of the high winds.
Right.
She's obviously scared.
I mean,
and he just goes into action. Mm-hmm. So that's something to remember, and he'll remember that. She'll remember that, and makes the world a little bit better.
It's also nice that she felt comfortable to allow him to help.
Yeah, yeah.
Because in this day and age, you know, it's when someone comes up to try to help, I'm sure people, and I'm just guessing here, people, women, especially women, when a man offers help, it's like, ooh, they first
think, what's their true intent?
What's their intent, or what could go wrong, and stuff like that. So, more though than I probably think Ezra ever has in the past, because the, you know, television and the internet has brought so many negative things to light that it kind of makes you think twice about people's intent. So
yeah,
good. Thanks, JP. That's a good story.
It wasn't the day off though for exercise or anything.
No, but you know, it was a slow. I mean, with me being sick this week, and it's kind of getting my energy back. It's been a slow. I've had a hard time finding stories this week, so bear with me, folks. This is the pork chop attack. Okay, the pork chop attack. Terry Bernard Ball. There's the three names. Terry Bernard Ball.
Lee Harvey Oswald.
Right up
John
there.
John Wilkes Booth.
Yep. So strap yourself in, people. Terry Bernard Ball, age 29, threw his meal at his mother after she forgot to buy him cigarettes. He's also accused of headbutting his 60-year-old mother because he was so outraged about her forgetting his cigarettes. Now, when I was reading that, first read the story, I thought that Terry Bernard Ball, he's 29, lived with his mommy.
That's still what I've assumed.
No, because the story goes on to say that he was in his own house, supposedly.
So mom may have been visiting.
May have been stopping by to maybe bring some stuff, and then forgot the cigarettes. To me, I'm thinking, well, maybe mother forgot on purpose. Maybe she just wants her son not to smoke cigarettes anymore. So this happened in Athens, Georgia. Police said Ball was arrested for simple battery, which I don't really think is that simple.
That's not simple.
Because, I mean, to hit your mother with pork chop is
it's not
simple. I mean, you have to really be a good target. I mean, you got really big, good at throwing pork chops at people.
Yeah. I wonder if he practices it.
Well, you know, if he had taken my PE class, he'd be an excellent marksman.
With pork chops?
No, we use dodgeballs.
Okay.
Also charged with a probation violation from a prior case 6 months earlier.
With pork chops?
No, it doesn't say what.
Okay.
So investigators reveal the allegations are that Ball was eating a pork chop at his home at 7:30 p.m. when he became upset with his mother. The officers allege in their arrest report that after throwing the piece of meat, Ball got up, pushed his mother, and then headbutted her. Now, is there a mark on her that the piece of pork chop hit her? Is there some barbecue sauce on her face? How can you prove that she got hit with a piece of pork chop?
Well, I would think it's like those breadcrumbs. You know, sometimes you do pork chops in that, or barbecue sauce, like you say, or some sort of sauce.
You
like,
know all these things. You don't cook.
My mom, a long time ago.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you do a DNA test on her face and find some pork on her face, then yeah, he's busted. But other than that, I mean, you'd think you'd wipe that crap off right away if you got hit with a pork chop.
Man, though. What kind of mean dude is this?
I don't know. Ball's father intervened and restrained him until police came. According to court records, a drunken Ball, there it is, drunken Ball, was sentenced to 12 months probation for hitting a man in the face with a cucumber. No, I'm just kidding. apparently hit a man for no apparent reason earlier. So now he's thrown a pork chop at his mother. He's headbutted her. And now, I mean, he was already on probation before, but before he had hit a man for no apparent reason. So he's got some anger issues. He's alcohol. Drinking issues, yeah. I'm guessing. Or maybe he was just drunk at that time. Who knows? But he's got some issues. I mean, to to get upset your mother because she forgot her cigarettes. I mean, first of all, in terms of mother and son relationship, it was not very good anyway, according to this, my guess is. But first of all, I, as a parent, would probably not be going over to his house ever again. Because, I mean, what could be next? I mean, if a guy gets a gun or a knife, if he's that upset to throw your pork chop, I mean, I love pork chops. That's the last thing I would be throwing at my mother.
No, I wouldn't want to waste it.
Yeah, no, because they're kind of expensive. Yeah. But I don't know. I don't. Why? Like, we did a story, I don't know, a few times ago where somebody took a bite of the man's grilled cheese and he went and got a gun and started shooting in the house.
Because he didn't like it or something. Right?
What the hell is wrong with these men who, something in their, I mean.
So but here, I was thinking about my dad. Mm-hmm. You said the dad intervened with this?
Yes. He got on top of his son and controlled his son until the police showed up.
Wow. I know my dad would have done a lot more to me than just controlled, you know, I would have been pounded.
Oh yeah, well yeah. Who knows? Maybe the father did, but yeah. I mean, this is, you know, he's hitting his wife. I mean, it's your son, but come on, throwing a pork chop at your mom, then you headbutt her,
right?
Because she forgot your cigarettes. Why don't you go get them yourself?
Right.
I mean, what's wrong with you? You can't. He's drunk, so he can't drive. So that's why he couldn't go out and get them.
Wow, it's a crazy, crazy world. Mm-hmm. Crazy yep. world. So. Well, speaking of police. Mm-hmm. I call this the real Common Core. We hear about Common Core, education, and everything mm-hmm. else. Well, police across the world love using, of course, their solving skills, right? They like to solve crimes. They're very good at it, obviously.
Yes, because like in the story I just read, to solve that crime, you've had to have some good skills on solving the pork chop crime.
Well, an Ohio police department recently got a plea from a 10-year-old girl seeking a different kind of help, a different kind of way of solving things. Fifth grader Lena Draper decided that she needed some help with her math homework. So she took to the Marion Police Department Facebook page and left a message with a few math problems on the site asking for help to answer them. Uh-huh. The department came to her rescue. Listen to this. I have this transcript of the Facebook posts. Mm-hmm. So Lena posts on the Facebook page of the police department, "I'm having trouble with my homework. Could you please help?" The automatic response from the police department said, "The Facebook page is not monitored 24/7. If it's an emergency, please call 911. If it's not an emergency and you need to speak to an officer, call this number. Otherwise, we will respond to you." Sure enough, a few hours later, a police officer from the Marion Police Department just simply said, "What's up?" Lena wrote back, "I need a little help with my homework." Officer goes, "Okay, with what?" Lena proposed this math problem. "Well, I don't understand this math problem. Parentheses, 8 plus 29, add parentheses, times 15. So the officer then took his time to explain. Do the numbers in the parentheses first. So in essence, you would then multiply 37 times 15. And it keeps going.
Oh, wow.
Then she presents another problem to the guy. And the guy goes
luckily she got the right police officer who knows math.
Well, that's what it would sound like, right? Uh-huh. So here's what happened after all said and done. Just giving of his time on a Facebook page to help this girl out, right? This is from a department spokesperson. "The department went above and beyond the duties. The answer he gave Lena, unfortunately, were incorrect."
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah, oh. "I thought the operations are correct," and this is what they go on to say further.
Oh no.
"Have to say that this is the first time we have been asked by a young Facebook follower to help with homework through Messenger. But hey, we serve and we protect. Maybe though, we should have mentioned that history was actually a part of my favorite subject rather than math. Well, we now know."
Well, that was cool that he even took the time to even do that.
Attempt it.
That's pretty cool.
I just love that. I mean, mm-hmm. we had a story before where, you know, somebody called, a child called the police not for an emergency or anything, but that the police responded.
Yeah, yeah, I remember what that was, but I do remember that we had with something like that. Yeah, that's cool that he took the time to do that. And that's, I wonder if anybody else has done that or will do that. Maybe not will do it because he didn't know what he was doing, but that's pretty cool.
It really is, and it serves a community. Mm-hmm. It establishes, and they just did it. Probably didn't say, you know what, this is going to benefit the police department and the relations with the community.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He just did it.
Right.
He just tried to help the best he could, even though he got the math problem wrong.
maybe they both need a tutor.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe they both can go at some point together. It's very cool.
Oh, that's cool. Well, I have, it's time for weird facts that are strange but true. So this time I've done moon facts.
Moon.
Facts about the moon. Next week I'll have facts about Uranus that you didn't know. Just kidding. So moon facts, okay? I have three moon facts. We always see the same side of the moon.
Always.
Always the same side. We don't see the other side.
That makes sense.
Now, the other side is a lot colder because that doesn't get the sun. The side of the moon we always see.
But, wow. You
Same side. Same side. Hmm. This one I thought was pretty cool is, the moon is moving away from the Earth by 3.78 centimeters, or for you Americans, 1.48 inches every year.
Huh. Away from us.
Yes, away from us.
I wonder what that does to our lunar waves.
Right, the tides and stuff like that. Well, I guess, that's a good thing. I don't know. I guess it would take longer for it to, you know, it's weird because, you know, if you do watch the news or you read the newspaper or on the internet, whatever, it tells you every day, you know, the moon is coming up at this time, whatever. I wonder if there's been a study about if it's taking longer for it to come up. So, but anyway, I thought that was pretty cool. Last one is, if there are two full moons in one month, and the other moon is called a blue moon.
Blue moon.
Now, I think I've heard that before, but I'm sure a lot of people have heard of the blue moon, and maybe they have not heard why there's a blue moon. Hmm. So two full moons in one month is called a blue moon.
That's pretty cool.
Right. And it's also a beer, isn't it? Blue moon.
Yeah, blue moon beer. Yeah. So, song. Song. Blue like I was just moon. Trying to sing.
Yeah, I'm not trying to sing that.
No.
Lose whatever listeners we have.
That's pretty cool. I can't wait to find out about Uranus.
Yeah, well, I don't think you'll be touching that story.
Not with a 10-foot pole.
No.
Although the guy, the politician, may want to.
Yeah, no. Well, I might move to Sweden.
There you go.
After this.
History that makes you go, hmm. Do you know, every school kid probably across America knows about Paul Revere's famous ride, right? Famous poem, everything else. And of course, he wasn't the only one, though. He had a companion. But people have a little recollection. It's very seldom that you hear about another famous writer, Sybil Ludington. Sybil Ludington. Have you ever heard that name before?
Sybil?
Sybil.
I've heard of Sybil Shepherd. I've heard of Sybil who's got 16 different personalities.
Sybil Ludington.
But no, not that one. So she's working toward that.
Well, let me inform you.
Cool.
So Sybil Ludington is a 16-year-old daughter of a captain in a New York militia. In 1777, the British troops were about to attack Danbury. So Captain Ludington began putting all of his militia together. He sent Sybil, his daughter, to rouse the countryside and sound the alarm. She rode 40 miles through the dark, rainy night, stopping at farmhouses, waking people up, getting them going. Not only did she have to elude the British troops in the area, but also loyalists, neighbors that were loyal to the crown, and even some criminals, like robbers, that would be willing to try to steal from her. She succeeded, and she returned home a local heroine.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah, so she was kind of like, no, she was Paul Revere, only Ludington's ride.
Right.
So you have multiple people that just, you know, just wasn't Paul Revere, which he's famous for what he did.
Right. He gets all the glory.
Yeah. Yeah. So number two, what we all know about, let's continue with the colonial times. Mm-hmm. We all know about the 13 original colonies, right?
Yeah.
Well, did you know that we have to add a 14th? A 14th original colony. It's the state of Franklin.
Oh, boy.
I love these things. See, the state of Franklin was actually named in honor of Benjamin Franklin. Mm-hmm. In 1784, the region decided that they probably have better luck living on their own rather than as part of North Carolina or even as a separate federal territory. They subsequently voted to secede from North Carolina. So well before all the different secession movement in the South and everything else, this was happening well before the American Revolution. Mm-hmm. And it's the state of Franklin.
You know, I think I've heard that before. I think it's in the southern part of North Carolina, if I'm correct.
It's the southwest portion, because right. This is what happens. The independent republic kept chugging on for over 4 years, writing its own constitution, making deals with Native American tribes, even attempting to negotiate a treaty with Spain. Well, that last act caught the governor of North Carolina's ear, and basically he went in and tried to stop this whole separate state of Franklin. Franklin, though, gradually did lose its purpose and actually would then become part, instead of North Carolina, it became part of Tennessee in 1796. Franklin, Tennessee.
Huh. Yeah, I do. I did. You know, I did hear about that a few years ago, so I Googled it. And I looked it up, see where it actually was. That's a neat story.
It's independence. It's mm-hmm. it's yep. you know secession. It's all sorts of things that you hear from one part of history, mm-hmm. but can relate to another.
Yeah.
One last one.
Okay.
Very short. You've seen American Dollar Bill?
No. Yeah. Not recently.
Well, did you know that it contains several hidden images?
Yes.
One of them, and I didn't even know this. This includes a spider at the upper right hand corner. So at the upper right-hand mm-hmm. corner, just below where it says the dollar bill, number one, just down to its left, is a hidden image of a spider.
I've seen that spider.
You have?
Yes. Have you ever seen the mushroom on there?
No.
I'll have to show you sometime.
I know that you can, it's a whole separate story, but it goes with the 9/11 theory and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But, the Knights Templar.
Yes.
Symbol, the all-seeing eye, and all that stuff. So I didn't know that there was a spider.
Yeah, you know what's really cool is if you check out the History Channel when they have that nice Templar stuff on there, and they talk about the symbols around D.C. and things like that, about the eye and all this stuff, and the way D.C. was set up and everything like that. It's really cool how they've intertwined everything like that. It's really fascinating.
Absolutely.
So, very cool. Very cool. You can follow us on Twitter at Think Laugh Cry and one. That's the number one. On Facebook at facebook.com/ThinkLaughCry and. You can also email us your stories, your thoughts, your feedback. And we're also having that contest. Anybody out there wants to record an MP3 format and send it to us, and we'll check it out. And it could be our new opening to our show. You can email us at thinklaughcryand@gmail.com. Thank you for the privilege of your time.
Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.